Good morning. Do you realize this is the first Sunday of 2018? Boy, the New Year's Eve party seemed like ages ago. And it was only last week. It's hard to believe. My brother-in-law is a pastor up in Northern California. He was in Northern California. He's in Seattle now. And one day he was visiting us, and I asked him at the end of the year, what was your best sermon of the year? I kind of wanted to know what that message was about. And he thought about it, and he said, my next one. I kind of like that. So just wanted to let you know, this is my best sermon ever. In the beginning of the year, there's always that hope for the future. And even people who have had a bummer year last year, they still have hope that things will be better. And, I just thought that to start off the new year, we have people who have gone through many difficult situations, have experienced hardship in different ways. And I think it's important for us to understand something so important for them as they try to grow in the Lord. So this morning, I want each and every one of you to think of the message as specifically for you, not for the person next to you, not for somebody at home, not your husband at home or your spouse at home or whatever it is. Just think about it as a message for you. I once said that to church before Stonebridge. I was preaching one time, and I said this very same thing. And there's a line that you go through when you leave the church after the service. And what do you know? The first person that comes through says, I wish my husband were here today so he could have heard what you said. Sometimes we just don't get it, you know. And you're here for a reason, and I think God wants to speak to us all. Life is messy, isn't it? I've seen people go through many difficult situations. I've seen parents who have had kids who have turned away from them and don't respond. They don't want to obey. They don't want to listen to them. I've seen parents with children who don't want to work, who are lazy, and who want to live off of their parents. I've seen couples come to me and tell me that their marriage is over and that they aren't willing to try to go to counseling. I've seen couples who can't get out of financial debt, and the debt has overwhelmed them, and they lose hope. I've seen young people with no sense of purpose, no sense of direction in their lives. There's young people who have parents that are divorcing, and they feel lost, and they feel like sometimes they are to blame. And this messiness of life is not just outside the church. This messiness of life is even inside the church. You know, and when you think about that, and when you see people going through hardships and going through tough times, you think, what do they need most? And if you're in church, you would say, Jesus. Okay. If you take out that word, take out the name of Jesus, which I believe in Jesus is the answer. But what they also need is wisdom. They need wisdom. Do you know that in the scriptures, throughout the scriptures, God is talking about people being wise and doing the wise things? We have a section of the Bible that is called wisdom literature, and it's about wisdom, about learning how to live this life with purpose and meaning. You know, we all need wisdom. We need wisdom in this church. We need wisdom in our leadership in our country. We need wisdom in the leadership of this church. We need wise people. We need wise people to come alongside of other people and help mentor them. Wisdom is something that is so necessary for us. And we need people in our church and in the churches around this country to desire and value wisdom and seek after wisdom. There's a neighborhood boy that I've seen grow up in our neighborhood since he was a young kid. And he's now a young adult. And honestly, sometimes I see him out there, and he's on drugs, I think, at that time, and he says just crazy things, and he's yelling, and he's kind of out of his mind at that point. But when he's not in that mode, he can talk very lucidly. He can talk about his situation. And so one day I was talking with him, and I said, "What are you doing with your life?" And he was telling me, "Well, you know, I want to go to college. I want to get a degree. I want to help people and all these things." And when I was talking to him, I thought, wow, it sounds really good. But a year goes by, and I see him in the same situation with friends, and they're smoking weed, and they're doing other things, you know. And he goes through these cycles and everything. And so one day, I was talking with him, and I said, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself if you think things are going to change. You need help. And if you need, and if you want help, then talk to me, because I know somebody that will help you get off drugs, get clean from it." And so he looked at me and said, "You would do that, Ken?" Well, he called me Mr. Giebel. And he said, "Really? I might be walking over to your house one day." And I said, "Please do. But I can't make you do that. You have to want to do this." You know, that's the importance of people who are on a path and they can't seem to get off that path. It's leading them into bad choices. And you know, his situation isn't such that he just made one choice and then he got there. He made a series of choices to get to the place that they're at. You are here today because you made a series of choices in your life. You know, some of you are in a good place, and you made a series of choices to get to that place. And then some of you might be in a bad place, and there's a series of choices that have happened there. But you have choices that you make. Choices are important because that's how you respond. And you can close out people, and you can invite people into your life. And this is about wisdom, having wisdom to walk in a way that grows you and that you thrive in. You know, I've been talking with Jonas about some of the ministries in Brazil, and he's telling me how sad it is because some of those people who do ministry in the churches in Brazil, they have marriages that are shaky because they're spending so much time in ministry that they don't have time for their spouses. It's unhealthy. They could use a dose of wisdom. When things are not healthy, when you are in caustic situations and it isn't healthy, it isn't good for you. Wisdom helps us to understand that. And here's the thing. We cannot compartmentalize our lives. We can't think that, okay, this is the spiritual life, this is the physical life, this is our emotional life, this is our marital life, this is our financial life. These things all work together. If you are affected in one area, it's going to affect other areas. And wisdom helps you to understand that. That you can't have some sin in your life or something that you're dealing with and think, okay, well, I'll keep it hidden here because it really won't affect these other things. It will affect those other things. And wisdom understands that. So I'm wanting everybody to understand how important wisdom is. And we're going to be starting a series, The School of Wisdom. And I want every one of you to enroll in the School of Wisdom. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you want to be in the center of God's will? Now, before you answer real quickly, okay, you think about this. Do you want to be in the center of God's will? For some of you, you almost feel like, well, I need to know what God's will is before I can answer that. But do you want to be in the center of God's will? Do you think that being in the center of God's will make your life happy? Do you think that being in the center of God's will make your life happy? What will make your life happy. Think about this. What do you think will make your life happy? Now, some people are looking at sports cars in their mind. Some people are thinking it's the lottery ticket or something, you know. What do you think will make your life happy? Do you know how to live a fulfilling life? You know, notice I changed from happy to fulfilling, because happy in people's mind is transitory, but a fulfilling life. Do you know how to live a fulfilling life? Do you have a plan to live a fulfilling life? I think all of us want to live life well. But how do you live life well? There are so many people you know and you've met who life just doesn't work well for them. It's that messiness. Welcome to the planet Earth. So I want you to write on your message notes something, 5 words. If you have a pen. If you don't, then envision this. 5 words. I want to be wise. I want to be wise. Okay? Then take that 5 words, and in front of that 5 words, put do, D-O, and on the period, put a question mark. What do I get? Do I want to be wise? This is the question that I want to ask you. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to be wise about life? Do you want to be wise about family? Do you want to be wise about relationships, about finances, temptations, follies, desires, discipline, love? If you are, and you do, and you are wise about those things, then wisdom rocks. Enroll in the School of Wisdom. You know the movie School of Rock? There's a guy named Jack Black, I think, and he's so passionate about rock music. And in that, he's trying to get people revved up about that. Well, I am wanting you guys to be all revved up about wanting to be wise, because God says that wisdom is something that we should pursue. In fact, in Proverbs it says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. It says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. That's how important wisdom is. And I will tell you at the end why it's so important in the ultimate end. But let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, if you have one of the church Bibles, it's on page 984. Proverbs chapter 1, page 984. Oh, I long for a church of wise people. I'm saying that about myself, too. Okay, I'm not saying about all of you. I'm saying this about a church that is wise in all things. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And Solomon is known for being the wisest man on the earth at that time. And he is known for his wisdom. And he actually wrote a lot of Proverbs. A lot of Proverbs are short sayings that reflect the truth about life. And they're not a promise, but they're kind of a truth, okay? It's not like everything is like a promise and it's going to be 100%, but in general, life works like this. And Proverbs has a lot of great truthful sayings that help us understand how life works. So he starts off with the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the saying and riddles of the wise. So you notice something here, all these different words that are here? So it begs the question, what is wisdom? And it's not, wisdom is not an easy thing to define. You know it when you hear it or see it, but you don't, you know how like you're trying to define something and you use the same word. Oh, wisdom is being wise. Oh, well, gee, thank you very much. No, it's kind of hard because wisdom isn't knowledge. It isn't just knowledge alone, though if you're wise, you have to have knowledge. But there are a lot of people who are very smart, very intelligent people who have a lot of knowledge, but they don't necessarily qualify as being wise. You can have knowledge, but not wisdom. But you can't have wisdom and not knowledge. Because you have to know what is true. So I've heard it said, knowledge is like knowing how to use a gun. Wisdom is knowing when to use it and when not to use it. Wisdom involves understanding the how and why of things, of a situation. And it's the ability in wisdom to connect the dots, to help understand, okay, you understand this, and it kind of fits together, and it's wise and it's true. There I use the word wise in helping explain wisdom. But you see, wisdom involves putting knowledge and understanding into real life. It's not just hearing something, knowing something, but it's taking knowledge and understanding and putting it and applying it into real life. So you see, in these first few verses, you get these different words, right? Knowledge, understanding, insight, instructions, listening, learning, discerning. These are all part of like wisdom words. And what's interesting is that you get the sense that Solomon, he really wants to pass on the wisdom that he has learned. And that's something about wisdom. When you have acquired wisdom, when you have grown in wisdom, you want to pass it on. Wisdom isn't something you say, okay, I got it now. It's great for me. Life is good. You know, LG. No. LG, okay. Sorry. Life, when you experience wisdom, you want to pass it on. You want to pass it on to your children. I can remember my mom sitting down and wanting to share some of her experiences, some of the truths that she experienced in her life. And I can remember sitting there and she would want to tell me that so that I would grow up and learn from that, from wisdom. You know, I got to tell you, when it comes to wisdom, I'm very passionate about wisdom. And one of the reasons why is because I've spent many years coaching. You guys all know that I've coached many hockey teams. I've coached young kids that have become young adults now. I have seen kids have no purpose in life. They're just meandering, they're floundering with no purpose of what they should do, who they should be, what they want to pursue after. I remember in high school, I made it a point to ask every kid who was a senior or junior what they were going to do with their lives. And their number one answer was, I don't know. I said, you're going into college. You're going into, you know, after high school, you may not be going into college. You may be going into the workforce and you don't know. I said, that's an expensive taxi ride. You're going onto a cab and you're telling the person, take me somewhere, but I don't know where I'm going. That's an expensive taxi ride. And that's what sometimes people do. They're like, well, I'm hoping something will fall in my lap. Yeah, a job at McDonald's will fall into your lap. And I'm not trying to put that down. I'm just trying to say that you've got to be careful. If you don't make plans, then it's so easy to flounder and just not find your way. And sometimes people think, well, they read James and they think about, okay, you know, who are you? Our lives are just like a breath of air. And he says, if you plan tomorrow, how do you know that your life might not be taken? What you should do is say, if it is God's will, if it's the Lord's will, then I will do this and will do that. So yes, you should make plans according to what God is working in your life. But it's important that you have a plan, that you have something that you're shooting for. I've also seen an older generation, which a lot of people here are in, that have experienced successes and failures. And oh, they have so much stories to tell. But we're not passing it on to the next generation. There is a lot of young people that can learn from the things that you've gone to. And you have to make it a point to deposit what God has worked in your life to the next generation. I have seen in my own life people who have mentored me, and they've had a profound effect on me. I've also seen areas in my life where no one went before me and I had to forge something and I didn't have a mentor. And really, I learned from the school of hard knocks. But there's something that I can learn from that. And I have appreciated the fact that when I first became a Christian, when I first came to the Lord, they emphasized, the people in my church emphasized getting after wisdom, getting wisdom, because it will help guide us in our lives. I have told my sons many times, my three sons, I've told them many times, I don't want to be the ceiling to their lives. I want to be the floor to their lives. I don't want a mini-me. I want a maxi-me. Seriously. What I've learned, I want to deposit in their lives so that they're going to be better. Any person that I help or mentor, I want them to be way better than me. That goes without saying. I want a far better version of me. 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. But wisdom is that kind of a thing that you want to deposit into others, and how important that is. Notice in verse 7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, it begins when we come to that place and we acknowledge the fear of the Lord is this awe of God, that God understands all things. That's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Someone who's audacious enough to say there is no God, us small creatures, to say there is no God is so ridiculous because the world is so big. Albert Einstein said, how much knowledge do you think this world possesses? And his class said, oh, maybe 2%. And he said, oh, I think that's really high. But how can you even say there is no God when God could be in the other 98% that you don't even understand or even fathom? And this is the same thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the reason why they despise wisdom and instruction is because they are proud. They don't want to be in a place of learning and to be instructed. See, the wise person is characterized by humility. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Humility is an important part. For us to grow in wisdom, to enroll in the school of wisdom, we have to have a humbleness about ourselves. We have to be willing to be teachable. We have to be willing to receive instruction, to learn, to listen. This is what wisdom is about. The wise person is characterized by humility. And true humility is not acting humble. True humility is knowing our place before God. Knowing that we are creatures and He is the Creator. He is the awesome one. He is the one that we can learn from and grow from. And that we can learn from each other too. That none of us is all that. That He is the God and He is all that. and he is the great and mighty God. Humility is so important because humble people can learn from all sources, and humble people aren't defensive when someone speaks into their lives. Wisdom values instruction and teaching. You know how some people will only learn from certain people, but they can't learn from each situation and person? But humility understands that in all situations, we can learn, even from our failures. Even we can learn from our enemies. We can learn from situations because we have a humble heart before God. And I want to say this. Parents, ask your kids to help you and teach you. Don't let it always go one direction. Ask your kids to help you and teach you. It will affirm their value to you, that you value what they say and what they have experienced. Look at the second part of this passage here in Proverbs 1. It's from verse 10 through 19. I do want to read that 9 and 10. It says, or 8 and 9. It says, listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. It's that whole idea that, listen, you know, as parents, we have something to deposit into your life. Don't get away from that. But verse 10 kind of takes a different turn here, okay? He says, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us, and we will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Now, Solomon is talking about temptation here. This temptation to exploit others, to take advantage of other people. Now, he's talking about these sinful men who would rob innocent people and fill their houses with the plunder. But it's more than just that. It's this temptation to want to take a shortcut, to not have to work hard at things, to do things by ill-gotten gains. We live in a world of instant gratification. Right? I mean, think about it. We're trying to get everything done faster. I love that Kenny is trying to install different things in his house, you know, from internet and everything. It's taking long. And I'm like, hurry up and get that internet. Come on, get it in place, because then I can, you know, there's just things like that. Or get that TV in so I can get over there and watch TV with you or something. You know what I mean? But it's like we want things fast. And Kenny is very patient. And so sometimes I'm like, come on. But there is this thing that we have this instant gratification. We don't know how to delay our gratification. We want it now. We want it now. And we have no self-control. We have to deal with this area of people who have no self-control in their lives. Proverbs 25:28 says this, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Now, imagine this. There's a city, and the city in ancient times, the city wall was their protection. I mean, some of these walls were huge. If you've ever seen the walls of Jerusalem, I mean, they were hard to scale. That's why Jerusalem was such a great city. But, you know, in the Bible, it talks about Jericho, the walls of Jericho being so famous because it was so big and strong that people could not scale it. But he says, like a city whose walls are broken through, meaning that it's broken down, it's people can enter in, is a person who has no self-control. They can't resist anything because the walls are broken. The walls of self-discipline, the walls of discipline in their lives are broken. And so temptation comes flying through and has her way in our lives. And Solomon is saying that we need to build the walls of discipline in our lives to resist this. But here's a twist in Solomon's assessment. Look at verse 11 or 18. These men, he's talking about these evil men, lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. He says not to go along with them. There will be consequences to their actions. Part of this consequence is that in doing this, part of their life, they're trying to take life away from people, but part of their life will be taken away from them. It is more costly because it will be hurting them in doing this. You may think that you get ill-gotten gains and you think that's great, but there's a cost to it. There's a cost to it. I was just sharing with my Sunday morning class about our group that, you know, I had an addiction with gambling before. And it wasn't because I lost money. I mean, I actually won. But my wife was talking to me about what she didn't like. And it wasn't that she had more money because I won. It was because it was affecting my character. See, ill-gotten gains affects you. There are consequences. And Solomon is trying to teach us that when we do things and we stray from the path of wisdom, there is a consequence. And it takes away life from us. Instead of thriving in life, it takes it away from us. And that's why wisdom is so important to walk that path. Haven't you seen this? I mean, look at this. When we stray from the path of wisdom, we only hurt ourselves. I mean, look at the TV, reality radio shows. People are getting meaner and meaner, right? Goodness is kind of out the window. Propriety is out the window. The people who make it are the people who are bombastic and they say all kind of hurtful things and stuff. We have become unkind and meaner toward each other when we start to veer off the path of wisdom. Here's something so interesting too. If you look at the last portion, wisdom's rebuke, it says, it's captioned, verses 20 to 33. Let me read this. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On the top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. And this is a kind of a personification of wisdom. Kind of an interesting way of kind of describing wisdom, but it's the personification of wisdom. And she's crying out, how long will you who are simple, love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. So wisdom is calling out to us. But look at verse 24. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hands, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer, but they will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now, when you hear that, okay, wisdom doesn't sound very nice. Right? It's a personification of wisdom. And wisdom says, boy, hey, when you call me at that point, since you haven't responded before, I'm going to just laugh in your face, basically. What Solomon's trying to do about wisdom is, in this personification, is he's trying to show us how we react to the call of wisdom. And he's doing it in a way that he's trying to say that wisdom can mirror what we do. That wisdom is calling us, and we're acting like, beat it. You know, wisdom is telling us, this is the way to walk. Forget it. I want to walk my own way. And so it's this kind of a callous attitude. And it makes it sound like in the personification that wisdom has this callous attitude. But it's this idea that when you walk away from wisdom, there are consequences. And those consequences will affect your life. Do you want to be wise? Wisdom calls to all, but only a few respond. If you really want true wisdom, this is why it's so important about wisdom. If you want true wisdom, you must come to Jesus. Jesus told the people of his time that the Queen of the South, Queen Sheba, will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth. She went from such a long place to hear of the wisdom of Solomon. And he says, behold, someone greater than Solomon is here. He was speaking of himself. Jesus is the wisdom of God. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians that in Christ is hidden all the treasure of wisdom and understanding. So let's begin this adventure and growth. I want to share something. I got to tell you, I appreciate this. Ricky's not here today, and I'm going to take a gamble that I wanted to ask him permission beforehand, but I think I'm saying something that's good about him. But I am so encouraged by Ricky. He asked Kenny for help in his finances. He asked for help. He learned to budget. He learned to prioritize. He looked for ways to cut expenses, saving money, has a plan to save money, and is working on ways to cut expenses. He learned, he received, he responded, he practiced it, and he's experiencing wisdom in finances. And when I heard this, it was just so heartwarming to me. You have to be in a place of humility to ask for help. You can't keep going around in a circle, come back to the same place and say, oh, I'm back in that same place. Wisdom says that you can get off that place. You can make a choice to walk a different path. And that if you walk the path of wisdom, you're going to walk to a different place. That life is meant to be lived fulfilling. Fulfilling purposes. Fulfilling God's purposes for you to thrive. And if you've made a series of choices that have been bad and it's led you to a certain place, well, guess what? You can make a series of choices to get on a different path. Enroll in the school of wisdom, because wisdom is all about Jesus Christ. And he will draw you to himself. I want to just encourage all of you. In the next weeks that we are in this message series, School of Wisdom, that you can learn and you can grow and you can thrive and you can experience God, because God wants you to. He knows how life works. We may not understand things, but he does, and he can help us. I want to end with this one thought. Okay, Solomon is best known for the king that when God came to him and said, whatever you want, I will grant you. And he says, Lord, give me wisdom so I could know how to rule the people. He was the king. And God granted him wisdom, and his wisdom is known throughout the world, right? But you know, also, Solomon was one of the most foolish kings. He was. His legacy is not something to be proud of. Okay? And you think, how can someone so wise be so stupid? I mean, sorry if that word offends you. It just kind of came out. But really, I mean, you think if somebody is so wise, how can they make such stupid choices? And this is the thing, okay? This is why we have to know how to apply truths into our lives. It isn't enough to just know some things and know wisdom and even know what the right thing ought to do, be. We have to follow up and live it and apply it to our lives. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people who say, oh, I know what I should do, but don't know how to do it. No, they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to apply what they've heard. And in these next few weeks, I hope that you will learn how to apply truth into your life so that you can be a wise person, that people will want to come to you for understanding and wisdom, and that you can deposit it to the next generation, to one another, that we as a church will be a wise church because Jesus is the wisdom of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, help us to be people who have understanding, who have knowledge, who have understanding, who have insight, who are discerning, who grow in discernment, who grow in judgment, who respond to instruction, who can be taught. Help us to desire wisdom, to seek it with all of our heart, that we understand that it's more important than money. It's more important than many things, because wisdom is understanding that in Christ is the wisdom of God. That even in the cross, we see the wisdom of God. And when we experience that wisdom, we experience your salvation. Lord, in the next few weeks and months that we share in the school of wisdom, would you help us to draw closer to you? Would you help us to be wise people so that we can also be wise people to people around us, and that we can bless them through how you have worked in our lives? I pray this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.